This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
I think just early on, a lot of these programs have growing pains. You get to see where the holes are.
After making some $2 billion in sales since cannabis became legal in 2020, Missouri's cannabis industry is riding high. But even so, it's not all tie-dye and rainbows for the industry. Cannabis's famous holiday, April 20th, should mean big bucks for bud sellers across the state. But on 420, many dispensaries ran into technical problems. That meant stock that could and should have gone into the hands of patients and customers instead stayed put on shelves. Here to talk about what happened on 420 and what's brewing in Missouri's cannabis industry, I'm joined again by Missouri Independent cannabis reporter Rebecca Rivas. Rebecca, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
I'm happy to be here.
So 420's mess up. What is it that happened and whom did it affect?
Right. Well, I think, you know, 420 is a great day to go to your dispensary because they have awesome deals. It's kind of like a Black Friday event, you know. So a lot of people kind of go, even if it's crowded, you know, they stand in line and they're waiting to maybe even stock up for the year. You know, it's a great day for businesses. But that comes with challenges. So your technology has to be up and ready. You got to have enough people there on hand. And I think what ended up happening was for some dispensaries, there were too many sales and their platforms, their servers that they were using ended up kind of crashing and going really slow. One business leader mentioned that it was kind of like if you have a really busy night at a restaurant and you have normally 20 stoves going, and then all of a sudden you only have one burner. It was essentially like that. Their registers were just going at a snail's pace.
Mm-hmm. And some of them just stopping outright.
Right, yes. So those lengthened lines, you know, lengthened waits, it was just a little frustrating. Now, this didn't happen to every company. It kind of depended on which server they were on with a company that a lot of them use. But yeah, it was very frustrating for a number of dispensaries for sure.
Mm-hmm. And this is the second year that this has happened where there have been tech glitches that have impeded sales, right?
Right. And I think this is just a sign that Missouri's doing great. You know, they're definitely having plenty of sales. But I think, yes, it is challenging to make sure that, you know, there's two different levels for that. Not only are you trying to get a good service that like maybe Walmart might use on Black Friday, these companies have an extra level because that platform also has to communicate with the state's what they call a C-to-sale tracking system. Mm-hmm. So any sale that goes out, it lets the state know, okay, that product has gone out, just to make sure that they're all compliant with everything that the state requires for those dispensaries.
Mm-hmm. And that was seed to state.
Seed to sale, and to it's sale. Called Metric. Yes.
Metric. Uh-huh. And so, and the name of the platform that had these problems is appropriately called Dutchy.
Yes.
And the places in the St. Louis area that had these problems, it was, as you said, not all of the dispensaries, but a few in particular.
Right. Well, I definitely heard from at least one dispensary out in Chesterfield, Hippo's Cannabis Dispensaries. That also has a few others throughout the state. And there's a number of businesses that use this platform, but I didn't hear back from all of them on whether or not they had challenges. Mm-hmm. But there's throughout the state, there was others that I spoke with that also had challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about Dutchy, this platform. What does Dutchy have to say about the problem that arose?
Right. Well, they were saying, you know, this was a record-breaking year. Across the country. So they work with states throughout the country to provide this kind of service. And they said, you know, that they had prepared and they did what they said, 2 million transactions representing $165 million in retail commerce, which was a 50% increase from last year's 420. Mm-hmm. So they said that, you know, they had done a lot of prep for this year, but they just had some technical difficulties that they couldn't foresee. And overall, they believe that it impacted less than 20% of their customers throughout the country, mm-hmm. which is hard for those who experience the difficulties because, you know, then for them, it's like, well, I could have been part of that 50% increase.
Right, right. And Nick Ranella, who is the CEO of Hippo's Cannabis, apparently said that it was painful to hear that there was that much of an increase because his system was jacked up the entire day.
That's right.
Yeah. So is it just, I mean, a matter of systems being overwhelmed? Is there...
That's what I asked. And Nick was also one of the ones that mentioned that it was 100% because they were having a great day throughout Missouri and throughout the country. You know, it was really a sign that sales were going really well. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to see what those sales look like when the state releases those numbers at the beginning of May, here mm-hmm. in about a week or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's move on from 420. Today's 429, April 29th, and it's the final deadline to apply for a micro business license. And these are licenses that are supposed to be reserved for people from disadvantaged communities, including those who've previously been convicted of marijuana crimes. Now, that is the theory. In practice, these, you know, quote, social equity licenses have created a lot of controversy in the industry. And Rebecca, you've reported quite a bit on this subject, and that reporting has included how this month, Missouri's Division of Cannabis Regulation has warned the public about predatory practices around these licenses. What are these predatory practices, Rebecca?
Right. Well, I think what we saw in the last round, which was the first round that they offered or they issued these licenses, there's 48 micro business licenses that were issued in the fall. And as the state was going through to make sure that, you know, this was in fact going to be owned and run by somebody who met the criteria that may have, might not have a high income, or they might come from an area that has high unemployment or high poverty rates, that they were actually going to benefit from this license. And what they found when they were looking through these documents was that it didn't always add up. And mm-hmm. so they ended up revoking 9 licenses here just this year. Mm-hmm. And I think among the things that they said was, you know, when they were questioning people who said that they were the owner, they didn't even know who even filed their application. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of one of the things, you know, if somebody approaches you and says, we're going to pay you to put your name in, you know, be wary. If we're going to pay for all of your costs up front and you don't have to pay for a thing, you know, that's another sign that it could be in the fine print. It could put you in a really precarious situation. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had a number of people reach out to me after reading the articles of, you know, things that they've received, agreements that they've received, that definitely in the fine print says that they would be on hook for a lot of money if they ended up getting the license, mm-hmm. Even up to about half of the cost of the license or the business market value being turned over to that company.
And so, these are people who are already in kind of a precarious position or tenuous position to begin with.
That's right.
And what is it that some of the applicants told you? For example, there was a couple, right?
Right. Yeah, there was a couple who are both veterans, and that is among the criteria that would put you eligible for a micro business license. And they said that somebody called or texted them and saying, you know, we're looking for a veteran to be the person who applies for this license. And the couple said, no, thank you. And then after that, they had somebody just kind of bullying them on all of their social media platforms. Mm-hmm. So they are pretty involved with their veteran community. And so they definitely let their commanders know that this is something that you should be looking out for, making sure that other people know about. And then there's another group of women who are over 70 who also mentioned that within their friend group, they're reaching out to them saying, you know, that we're just looking for somebody. It looks like you might actually be eligible. You could earn a ton of money. You don't have to pay a thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to do all that on the front end for you. But then they end up giving a lot of their you know, their social security number, their tax documents, you know, even just that practice could put people in a very precarious situation. So,
And so the Division of Cannabis Regulation put out a statement that it had become aware of solicitation efforts by companies to apply for microbusiness licenses on behalf of qualified individuals with promises of future ownership in the license. And again, that was from something that the agency had put out this month. Now, the first round of licenses ran into problems for good reason. Is there good reason, however, to expect, Rebecca, that things will be different with the second round?
That's a really good question. We're going to get to see that here pretty soon. As today is the last day that people can apply, over the next month, the state is going to review these applications. I don't think so. I think that we're going to see a lot of those similar tactics. However, in this first round of the nine that were revoked, two licensees have appealed that decision. And I think this is the first opportunity the state's going to have to say, you know, we're going to hold firm to our decision. We are really going to make sure that these licenses go to the people that the Constitution says they should go to. So that process is actually going to be a while because the hearing isn't till September. So we won't really get to hear those arguments until then.
And is there any way to know, I mean, the program is supposed to help minorities, veterans, right, and people harmed by drug prohibition. Is that happening to any extent?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I do. I've heard from a few folks who are benefiting from these licenses. And this is, you know, I wrote for the St. Louis American newspaper for a little over a decade. And a big part of what I did there was just to watch programs like this, you know, equity programs, you know, minority participation on public contracting, those things. I think just early on, a lot of these programs have growing pains. You get to see where the holes are. You get to kind of reinforce that with more regulation, those kinds of things. I think it's going to take a minute to make sure that everything is in line. And I think it will eventually, you know, be very beneficial. But I think right now it is definitely a target for predatory practices. And I will add, one of the reasons that is because the Constitution also says that there will be no new licenses issued until 548 days after the first recreational licenses. So that's coming up to probably around August. So the state couldn't issue any new, big licenses, what they call comprehensive licenses, until this summer. And then even if they do choose to issue new licenses, 50% of them have to go to microbusiness licensees. So that's great to bolster that opportunity for those licensees, but it also means it's the only real entry for new, bigger licenses. And that's, I think, what has made it such a big target for people to recognize, okay, this is how I get a license. I just got to get somebody in there to, you know, kind of be my front person, and so that I can get a larger license. Yeah.
I'm talking with Rebecca Rivas, who's cannabis reporter for the Missouri Independent. Now, you found, Rebecca, that out-of-state companies are doing their best to get in touch with people in Missouri who are eligible for these licenses. How is it that they are reaching folks?
Well, the Michigan group, and they are actually the ones that are appealing their revocation, they reached out through, I believe it was Craigslist, Facebook, social media platforms. And I think also it was kind of a word of mouth, like, you know, if you can get your friend to apply, then there'll be an additional, you know, deal for you in some way. But they were paying folks to apply to the for on their behalf.
And is what is making this predatory, really? It's just targeting and misleading people?
Yeah, in that particular case, they, in the fine print, it was that they would sell the business to the Michigan group for a dollar, and they had absolutely no interest in the business. That was an agreement that we obtained, the Independent obtained. So, yes, I think that was something that a lot of people who signed on didn't realize. they thought they actually were going to be running a business. Mm-hmm. They thought that this was a real opportunity, and it wasn't described to them that way. And when I showed, you know, made them aware of that provision, they were really surprised.
What has happened with those people?
Well, I think that I think they realized, you know, because another part of this was that once you agree to go on, they will just keep putting your name in to not only Missouri, but to other states. Mm-hmm. And so they are in several other states. So I think they've pulled their names, you know. I think right. they've tried to get out of this kind of agreement. But I, you know, I think they are hoping that it just doesn't have any further repercussions. And so far, I have not heard of any.
Mm-hmm. And does this kind of follow what is happening, as far as you know, like in other states as well, where there has been legalization, there's been some movement to make for like social equity through programs like this?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So Illinois has a program for sure that came on just before us. And that was actually how I ended up finding the agreement. There was a man who had gotten on in Illinois, and then they submitted his name into Missouri. So it was actually through the Illinois process was how I ended up understanding what was happening. And, mm-hmm. and it was actually just kind of luck that I was talking to him about the Illinois program, and he said, oh, and actually they entered my name in Missouri too.
So, Rebecca, there's another story that you have been chasing, and it has to do with Delta 8. And this is a chemical that is like THC, but it comes from hemp rather than marijuana. And it's legal, but it is not regulated in the way that cannabis is. Can you remind us very quickly, what is Delta 8?
Right. So the 2018 Farm Bill, federal Farm Bill, it took hemp off the controlled substance list, which I think the idea was to make clothing and other kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. And for like CBD products, things that are not intoxicating. But what is also possible with hemp is that you can chemically convert CBD into THC. So you can take something that doesn't have a lot of intoxicating properties to it, which is CBD, and turn it into something that does, which mm-hmm. is THC. And that is the Delta 8. That's what happens in that chemical conversion. Now, there are other ways to do it. It's not just chemical conversion. But yes, that is what a lot of the products that you see when you see Delta 8, it is them chemically converting that. And mm-hmm. I think some people call it a synthetic THC.
Right, right.
Which is not always, you know, depends on how you look at it. Some people say it's fine. Other people who are really like strong marijuana folks do not like that kind of THC. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's definitely a preference thing.
Right, right. Now, when you talked with us last time about Delta 8, it was linked to a recall of mm-hmm. some 60,000 products. And that recall led to a lawsuit and a legal argument that says that Missouri should not be regulating the cannabis industry at all. So what is the latest on the future of Delta 8 in Missouri?
Right. Well, that is a really big and heated argument on a number of levels on the legal front, but also definitely in the legislature. There are a couple bills in the House and the Senate that are hoping to regulate these products. And they were hoping that the same division or Department of Health and Senior Services would regulate these products as well as marijuana. I think a lot of people want it, not only the people who are making these products, because they want to be, you know, licensed. They want people to feel comfortable with the products they're getting. I think legislators do, elected officials. The problem is like how that's happening, mm-hmm. because the current legislation would essentially ban the products altogether, just because it would, you know, I don't want to go too far into the weeds, but yeah. so to speak, but, you know, just the way that the state regulates marijuana. So, yeah, I think that there's still some conversations that need to happen about that. And I think there's alternatives that have been presented. We have about a month left to see what will happen at in Jefferson City. So, yeah, we could come out with some more regulation really soon, or it could just be still up in the air and maybe left to the courts.
Yeah. So just like as we wrap here, you have this title now of being the cannabis reporter for the Missouri Independent. Are you finding that with the coverage that you're doing, that people are coming to you with really interesting and important questions that are sort of helping you to figure out where to go in your reporting, or is that still to come?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, it depends on what I'm covering. I get a lot of the folks who are trying to apply for the microbusiness licensing definitely get a lot of feedback on that end. And I think, you know, it's just kind of, you mention what you do and people say, okay, wait, what's Delta 8? Can you please explain that? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I can in some form or fashion. But yeah, I think it is helpful for me to understand, you know, what questions people have, how much more do I need to explain, even every article, on these fronts. So yes.
Rebecca Rivas is the Missouri Independent's cannabis reporter. Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Yes, this was great. Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.